everybody, welcome to another edition of Rider Club Radio. I'm Jeff.
And I'm Liam.
And this week we watched a new episode of Kamen Rider X8, episode 5, I believe?
Yes, it was 5.
And in this episode, X8 learns a valuable lesson about friendship or something.
Namely that it doesn't exist in this show.
A lesson he'll continue to learn, I'm sure. And we also watched Animal Sentai Juojo episode 30...
We lost it. 34?
The new episode...
36?
Of Juojo, wherein Tusk tries as hard as he possibly can to not be arrested for being a pedophile.
God, there's so much to talk about this week. We're going to be talking about that episode for like 6 hours. There's a lot to analyze there.
There's a lot to unfold.
Yeah, a little bit.
Well, first off, why don't you tell us about what happened on Kamen Rider X-Aid this week?
Okay, so Emu, while he's walking down the street, bumps into a guy. He's like, oh, God, help me. Emu, I'm so sick. And Emu's like...
He knew his name?
Yeah, I don't know. It was really mysterious.
That was mysterious.
He didn't know his name. But Emu's like, shit, this guy's sick with the game sickness. And at the same time, the CEO of Genom Corporation contacts Hiro, Kamen Rider Brave, and he says, hey, some guy stole all of our prototype premium gadgets that we were making. It's this guy. And Hiro's like, all right, I'll go and get him. And he goes to where Emu is, and he's like, Emu, don't treat that guy. He's the guy who stole the gashats. And the guy uses his chance to escape. So they go after him, but all they find is the Gekitotsu robots monster. He's got like the Gekitotsu robots game in his forehead.
Yes.
And they fight him, but they can't beat him because Genom shows up and kicks their asses with the bike on his shoulders. He just fucking destroys them like he always does, and then runs off like he always does. So they go back and they argue. They're like, well, Emu wants to treat him because he is sick and he's gonna die. And if they don't defeat the Bugster, they think it's the Gekitotsu robots monster is like the guy's Bugster.
Mm-hmm.
But Hiro says, who gives a fuck? We just have to beat him. Because Laser comes out and he says, hey, that guy, that sick guy is Genom. So Hiro says, let's just kill him and get it over with. Because he's Genom and he's in big trouble anyways. And Emu says, no, we gotta treat him. And then put him through a court of law or whatever.
No, I think you're just adding shit to this description. No one said that they should kill him. They just said that they should get the gashats back.
They should get the gashats
back.
And
Emu said that they should treat him because he's the only one that has half a fucking working brain and realizes that treating the patient gets rid of the monster.
Well, they gotta get the gashats first.
I guess.
They want the gashats. Fuck him if he's sick. That's Brave's stance.
Yeah, fuck the monster running around. Who gives a shit? We want those gashats.
Gotta get the gashats, because the CEO
who gives a gashit?
There's a new one. If this show was bad, we'd be using that one a lot. But, yeah, we'll see. There's still time.
I look forward to it.
There's still time. So, the CEO of Genom Corporation comes out and says the same thing. Hey, man, I know the guy's sick and you're a doctor and all that. He's technically your patient because you scanned him with your stethoscope. But you do have to get those gashats back. That's priority one.
Yes, and Emu says, he gets really, like, homoerotic with him. He's like, your heart's like a beautiful crystal that, like, true friendship shines through or some bullshit. And Emu's like, dude, are you, like, asking me out or what?
The whole monologue that the CEO says about Emu's, like, cherry lips and how he wants to touch them is a super awkward scene on this rooftop.
Emu's like, alright, I get the idea. Can we move on?
Emu says, fuck all y'all. I'll treat him if I find him. So Emu goes to treat him. Hiro goes to beat him. Fucking Snipe figures out because he breaks into Genom and he says, hey,
Taiga.
You should... Taiga figures out because he breaks into the corporation. Him and Laser both break into the corporation and they're like, yeah, we know. We know who this is. We know where he is. We're going to go fucking get our gashats as well. So they go after him. Everybody
Laser's
goes...
name.
What?
I can't remember Laser's name.
Oh, I had it. Kiria.
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 Okay.
They all converge, and everyone has bad intentions except for Emu. They all converge on this patient, and they all go to fight him, but then they find out he's not Genom. It's some other dude. The patient is much worse. He's just straight up a Bugster. That's why he had the game sickness. He's the bird
Graphite.
Bugster. Yeah, Graphite. That's his name. He's the green bird that we've been seeing from the start. So they're like, oh, I guess we'll fucking fight Genom and lose.
Well, interestingly enough, Snipe knows Graphite, hates his fucking guts, wants to kill him.
There's a history between Snipe and Graphite.
It's hinted at.
Very, very... It's like one line he says that he recognizes him.
So they fight.
Yeah, it's pretty sick. So they fight. They all fight. They're like, everyone, let's all band together and get our shit pushed in by Genom again. And so they do, until Emu decides to beat the Gekitotsu Robots monster, and he gets the Gekitotsu Robots Gashat, and he turns into Gekitotsu Robots. He takes this to level 3.
You really like the name of that game, don't you?
I made sure to look it up. I had no idea what it was called. Like, 10 minutes ago, I was like, I have to get this down. It's Gekitotsu Robots. So I'm going to make every fucking use of it that I can. I need that research to not be in vain.
Everybody's favorite genre of video games, robots.
So he gets the Gashat. He goes to level 3. He kicks Genom's ass, and Genom runs off. And he somehow escapes, even though Xaid like punches him right in the chest, and it says an explosion, and he gets away. I don't know. He runs off, and he untransforms while everyone's not looking at him. He goes back to his Bugster buddies, and he's like, oh, I'm actually the CEO of Genom Corporation, and I'm such a fucking genius because I made all these Gashats, and they're so powerful, and everyone's such an asshole.
Yeah, yes. He's like, I'm secretly Genom the whole time. I probably should have called it something different than that, if I didn't want people to know.
Well, to be fair, he never told anyone he was Kamen Rider Genom. They just called him the Black Xaid.
Yeah, the Dark Xaid.
The Evil
and
Xaid.
For some reason, it didn't dawn on me that it was probably going to be him, because we'd already seen that it was fucking... that it seemed to be Pallid.
Yeah, well...
Well,
because they had the Pallid was the one who had that weird little thingy that Genom uses.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bait and switch. Jeff, what did you think of X85?
I really, really liked it, Liam.
You know what? Me too.
I thought it was a pretty damn good episode of a television series, if I do say so myself. So
I sat down at my old TV set with the family, with the wife and kids.
You're off your medicine again, aren't you?
Yeah, when I was watching this episode, I was a little afraid at the beginning. Brave is present throughout almost all of this episode, and for like the first 10 minutes of it, he's Spectre. He's just like, Emery's like, let's go, and Brave's like, yep, alright. And I was kind of worried, I was like, uh-oh. But then they go back to CR, and instantly Brave starts berating Emu for his worldviews, and they have an argument, and he grabs him by the scruff of his collar, and they leave in a huff. Which I love. I love that. But I just like that he's not just some fuck. He's not just sitting there passively advancing the plot. I like that even when he is on Emu's side, and he is technically on Emu's side.
Sort of. They both work for the same organization right now.
They're co-workers who hate each other. That's sort of their dynamic, but like they keep that.
They have entire different motivations, though, which is my favorite part, that all four characters have completely incompatible motivations.
Yeah, that's what's interesting about the cast. That's the brilliant thing about the cast. And this episode's got a lot of that, actually.
There's one thing that I specifically wanted to point out, and I'm jumping around back and forth in this episode. I'm not going linear this time.
Man, I don't care.
Is that Emu becomes Xaid because of taunting by Genom. Like, he's like, well, I'm gonna fucking show you, right? And I thought he was just gonna, like, I don't know. I didn't realize, like, how he was going to get the Gekitatsu robots. I knew he was going to, but he got it by outsmarting Genom.
Yeah.
That's something that I've talked about in previous episodes that I hate that Kamen Rider never does. But he made Genom think he was attacking him and leapt directly over him to attack Gekitatsu robots with his finisher.
So while we were complaining that, oh, he doesn't beat Genom with his wits, he beats him with a form, he kind of beats him with his wits.
He outsmarts him first.
They meet halfway in between the two.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that takes care of one of my major complaints about a lot of Kamen Rider in general. At least a little bit.
Yeah.
It stoked the fire for, like, further outwitting as time goes on.
That's another thing. Emu gets a little pissed in this episode. And it almost seems like it's a trick at first, but when he untransforms, you can tell he's still very riled up. It's a vulnerability he's got.
He's easy to provoke. That's great for storytelling purposes.
Yeah.
But it gives his personality another dimension to it as well. Like, he's already a character that has, like, two different facets of his personality that come to the surface in two separate situations.
Mm.
But now there's a third facet that the villains cause to come out.
That's three.
It's great.
Three characteristics, officially three-dimensional character. We made it.
And a breath of fresh air coming from where we've come from.
I do like... It was kind of obvious that Kamen Rider Genom was going to be the Genom Corporation man.
I didn't think so.
Really?
I didn't. For some reason, it had like crossed my mind in the past that it might be him. But for some reason, I was so set on it being Pallid because he was set up so perfectly to be Genom.
Yeah,
and like he in one scene he'd be like, "I've got something to do" or whatever, and he'd walk off screen, and then in the next scene, Genom would come on screen.
Yeah, yeah, it's a good bait and switch.
Yeah, it was a great bait and switch, but as soon as it was revealed to be him, I felt like ungodly stupid.
But the
CEO
is, like,
of Genom Corporation is Kamen Rider Genom.
That's the clever thing is they're not giving it all to you right away. We know that Genom Corporation is going to be the Zect kind of thing, the shady company that's behind all the Rider shit. That's their thing, and they're gonna turn out to be some sort of evil shit, but they make it not very obvious. Like in the first few episodes, they really frame it like it's just a video game company, and even the CEO himself, whose name I don't fucking remember, just seems like a helpful dude.
Well, they call him like CEO-san all the time.
He just seems like a normal guy who's like, yeah, I want to beat the Bugsters. I'm helping the Riders to defeat the Bugsters.
I don't know. He had, like, this sort of nefariousness to him the whole time as well. Like, whenever no one was around, he would do, like, a nefarious thing. Say something nefarious.
I don't remember any of that.
He had moments. And then he would turn around and call Asuna fucking Poppy all the time. What is her deal? Like, is it explained so far? Like, what she fucking is? What her purpose is?
She's there to piss you off. She's there to piss me off.
It works.
They like, Toei came to my house, and they were like, holy shit, this guy really hates ghosts. Let's piss him right the fuck off at this one character.
We created this character called Poppy Peepo Papilloma Virus. We all have to fucking deal with it now.
This guy really doesn't like Onari, so let's make Onari a girl and see how he likes that, fucker.
You see, like, that would make it better, but it didn't. Yeah, like, making it attractive didn't make it any better.
Nope.
Although, like, I'm guessing that the Poppy Peepo Papapo...
The correct pronunciation is Poppy Papadopoulos. She's
Poppy
Greek.
Persepolis.
Poppy Persepolis.
You're supposed to find that form more attractive since it's bubbly and fun or whatever, but she just looks like a fucking weirdo.
It's a very obvious wig in the Poppy Peepo Papo form. I like her when she's just Asuna. She's just like the serious sort of straight man business lady. That's a fine dynamic for her to have. And then she turns into Poppy and you're like, fuck this TV show.
And sometimes she's Poppy for literally no reason. Like, during the scene when fucking Brave is just at the table eating his cake or whatever, she's Poppy. Why?
I don't know. It's just, I don't think the writers know what to do with her. I think maybe there was some sort of Toei quota, like, you gotta have one idol, because that's what the demographics are showing, that idols are so hot right now, you gotta have a Miku. And they don't know what to do with her? That's just a theory. I don't know.
Maybe. I hate her.
Well, you know what? They're doing what they're minimizing her, which is, they're minimizing Poppy. It's fine. Have Asuna. Try to minimize Poppy.
Yeah, use Asuna as much as you want. Just don't fucking put Poppy in there. I feel sorry for Laser. I've already forgotten his name.
Hideki Kamiya. Kiria.
Hideki Kamiya.
Yeah.
I feel bad for Kiria because he's, like, obviously the shittiest by far.
He can't even
There's
walk.
Nothing he can do about it.
He can't walk as a Kamen Rider. He either has to waddle around in level one or he has a bike.
Yeah. Like, I feel terrible for him. How is he possibly going to compete with these psychopaths he's put up against?
I don't know. I really don't know.
And it's like, during the scene when Genom has become... maybe we should call him Genmu.
Yeah, they call him Genmu.
Yeah.
They do. That's another thing that gets 100% confirmed. He's Genmu, which I hate.
We'll just call him Genmu.
He's Genmu. That's official Rider Club Radio change.
Yeah. Ka-choo. Nobody gives a shit.
Lock
but,
it
right.
in. Genmu.
Fuck you.
Okay, go.
Genmu... like, attacks them in level 3, and he runs up trying to attack him as his dumb fucking mascot level 1. And he's doing, like, all of his little, rah, rah, like, attacks and stuff, and I'm like, dude, come on.
What?
Like, this is like a tiny child trying to beat up Arnold Schwarzenegger on the fucking set of Terminator 2.
I think he'd have a better chance.
This is Edward Furlong versus Arnold Schwarzenegger on the set of Terminator 2.
I think he'd have a better chance just not transforming at all. At least he has full control of his body.
That's true.
That's true. He doesn't have any other choice. He's a bike. He's a fucking bike.
He could turn into the bike and then, like, ram him.
That takes special effects budget, Jeff.
Yeah, that's true.
When you have a bike without a rider, it's gotta be CG. So
that's what happens, though. Anytime Toei puts a character into anything that has heavy CG involved with it, that character just never appears after the first appearance, maybe once or twice.
How much
think about
bet?
Fucking Captain Ghost. How many times Captain Ghost appeared?
Yeah, but I was thankful for that.
Yeah, me too.
That was a blessing. I'll make you a bet right now. I'll make you a real bet that at some point, Kyrie is going to go to America for some length of time.
I will counter bet you that Kyrie has already been in America for a period of time.
Oh. You're probably right, though.
Wait a minute. The fucking Genmu Corporation man, CEO man, said that their agent was coming from America. Who was that?
The first candidate was Hiro. He was the guy.
Oh, yeah, he was coming from America.
He was coming back from the U.S., yeah.
They can't have more than one person who's ever set foot in America in a Kamen Rider series.
If I remember correctly, two of the characters in Black go to America, so you're fucked.
Oh, my God. So I love characters that are, like, from America or have spent, like, most of their lives in America and Japanese media because they're just, like, huge fucking cockholes.
They're boisterous and cocky and, yeah.
I love it. Like, my favorite character in G Gundam is Chibity Crockett.
Of course.
My favorite character in Scryde was Straight Cougar.
What the fuck is Scryde?
It's an animu.
I don't watch
anime. They played
on
Toonami.
I don't watch fucking anime.
Yeah, you do.
What do you think, I am some kind of nerd?
Yes.
Oh.
That always reminds me in Tokusatsu of Taki Kazuya, though, from the original Kamen Rider series, because he was just loud and obnoxious and wore sunglasses all the time. And he always had his shirt sleeves, like, rolled up to show his muscles, and...
That's why I think Kyria might have spent some time or might go to America, but I think if... I wouldn't be surprised at all if there was, like, we don't have the budget, the toy sales been pretty low. Kyria, he went to America, and he'll be back in, like, a month.
See, I think he's going to be, like, the next person to get a level 3.
After Snipe, you mean?
No, Brave gets a level 3 next
episode. Or, yeah, Brave, sorry, yeah.
Yeah, after Brave. He's gonna get level 3, and he's just gonna use that form forever. He's never gonna get another one after that.
I wonder...
Like, he's going to go straight to it every time.
I wonder if he's gonna get a level 3.
I don't know. It feels like the writers weren't really thinking this character through very much.
At least not in terms of action and special effects and shit.
And it's really difficult to take him seriously as well. Like, he acts like he's this big threat, or he has, like, this big part to play, and he's underhanded about it. But he's just a fucking motorcycle.
He's a fancy bike. He can hit you.
Getting hit with a motorcycle is no picnic, I hear.
No, I guess for Kamen Riders, it's not so bad. It's like getting punched. They treat him like getting punched.
We'll see where his character goes, because right now I couldn't fucking say...
Maybe, I think I remember, like, the very early toy scans when Genom, or when X-Aid was first revealed. I think Laser didn't have a level 3. He just went straight to level 4.
Really?
I think. Maybe they just didn't reveal his level 3. Like, everyone, they showed a silhouette. They didn't show his.
I don't know.
I don't. It's a mystery. What could happen?
It's a mystery. This whole series is a mystery until more scans come out.
Watch he gets level 3. And it's just, like, more shit on his bike. And it still has to be a bike.
Wouldn't it be fucking hilarious if he got level 3 and there was just a mannequin on the bike and that was it? And it made him drive fast.
He pulls it in, finally, he's like, finally I got this, like, I don't know, it'd be like a point-and-click adventure. He's like, finally I can not be a bike anymore. And he puts it on and he's still a bike. He's just got, like, Professor Layton on his back. And he's like, fuck this! Fuck video games!
Even better... As if he put it in and, like, transformed into the bike, and he was like, wait, what's different? Oh, there's a button here, and the button pressed, and then, like, the inflatable autopilot from Airplane. Just...
And then he goes, fuck, I'm just gonna buy a gun. Fuck it. Fuck belts.
I'm going to America anyway. I'll buy a gun when I get there. Fuck. Like, Genmu being revealed as the CEO brings the question of who the fuck Pallid is.
Pallid, I think... I don't know.
Because it shows us in this episode that Graphite's a human.
Yeah. He has a human form, at least.
Yeah.
Maybe I don't know if it's a disguise or if he's just super infected or something.
Well, he transforms.
That's true. Yeah, that's true. He uses the device. Yeah, he uses a device to transform.
Maybe, who knows? Maybe they're, like, super evolved bugsters that just have human forms or whatever, but to get back and forth, they have to use that device.
Yeah, maybe they're, like, heart and brain. They're, like, the top bugsters who have unique personalities and shit.
But I wonder what Pallid's is. It's a little strange that, like, the bugster's name is Graphite, right?
Hmm.
Because, here's a little lesson on artist tools for you. Graphite's what's in a pencil.
I know that.
And it's because, I know that's fucking everybody knows that, but the reason why we use graphite in pencils now is because of lead poisoning.
Mm-hmm.
Every pencil used to be lead, and lead poisoning was a huge, like, worry at the time. I'm not sure it, like, killed a billion people or whatever, but it was a worry that, you know, we're giving our children this stick full of death if they, like, put it on their tongue or something.
Yeah.
So they made graphite. So why is he named after the safer alternative to something that can kill you?
Because he is the second in command, and not the guy who leads.
Pallid's real name is Lead.
Pallid's real name is Lead. Yeah,
yeah. Called it. If it happens, you know who to talk to.
We predict a lot of things on this show, so
yeah. We get to the news section, I'm gonna gloat about predicting something. So
don't
look
spoil
forward
it.
To that.
Don't spoil it. On the whole, though, this episode was fucking great. Loved it.
It really was. A lot of great action in this episode as well. Like I said before, I love the little screen that pops up with the name of the attack on it.
Yeah.
With, like, flames coming off of it and special effects and shit. I love that.
The cast is all keeping their characters. No one's been forgotten. I hate Poppy. I love all the riders.
Yeah, I love all the riders as well. Like, the one I'm least interested in thus far... It started out that I was least interested in... Snipe, and I was more interested in Brave, but that has completely shifted now.
Because Brave,
Snipe has a history with Graphite, and Brave doesn't seem to have much of anything going on right now.
Brave, yeah, I think they're just putting him on the back burner for later. Everyone else has got something. Brave is just there to. It's
Brave
fun.
Has a specific episode.
Next
episode.
It's fun how he conflicts with Emu. I like that. They're forced to work together.
I find it cool that he's actually kind of a coward.
Yeah, I think he would prefer to see it as, like, he's a pragmatist, but, like, every time
he's
gets
very
hurt,
pragmatic, but he's coming off as, like, a coward. Every time he's, like, low on health, he's like, oh my god, it's too dangerous!
Fuck this!
And he leaves.
Meanwhile, Laser's running around in his fucking Ronald McDonald form. He's not giving a shit.
He's dressed up like fucking Grimace.
Grimace,
that's who he's dressed up like. He's Mayor McCheese out there fighting level 3 Genmu.
The balls on that Kyria.
Yeah. And he's acting like he has a chance, too. He's acting like he's the one in control.
But yeah, I'm very excited to see Brave's third form. I think it's going to be neat. Doesn't fit him at all.
The funny thing about these third forms is I don't really like them very much.
Really? I love them.
Yeah, I think they look exactly like what they are, where they just took the base suit and, like, stuck a bunch of shit on top of it.
Yep.
And,
that's what I like.
In other series, they do that, of course, with every form, but it looks different enough and, like, distinguishes its own thing enough that... Because, you know, it's supposed to, and these aren't. It's supposed to look like shit on top of their form.
I like that, though. It keeps...
I don't think it's a very cool-looking aesthetic.
That's what I kind of didn't like about Drive, is the side grades look like different riders for them. I like that this one is still, you can very much tell who they are, and that's, like, it's literally what it is. Like, the Shakuriki Sports is the bike goes on ya, the Gekitotsu Robots is the robot goes on ya.
I like Gekitotsu Robots better than Shakuriki Sports.
I love Shakuriki Sports.
I like Gekito. I just don't think Braves looks very good. When I saw Brave, he has, like, this silver and sort of, like, I don't even know. It's like a blue, but it's like a greenish blue. Like
a
almost
metallic
teal.
Blue. Like a, yeah.
And I was like, those colors look good together, but no other colors are ever going to look good with that combo.
Well,
and
yeah.
The combo of the new form on top of it doesn't look good.
X8's been a bit weird about colors since the very start.
True.
Yeah.
That is true. It's X8 cool.
That's the aesthetic. It's X8 cool.
I do like Gekitotsu robots. It is X8 cool.
It's very X8 cool. Yeah, that's what you can say about it. That's for sure.
And I love that he has like a rocket punch for his final attack, and then he like shoves his fist into it for the finisher.
Yeah, that's good.
That was killer. A lot of mysteries hinted at in this episode that I'm looking forward to seeing.
Isn't it great watching a rider show that's got a plot? I miss that.
Yeah.
Holy shit.
Somebody wrote in like a couple weeks ago and was like, what the fuck is this show I'm listening to where people are being positive about Kamen Rider? Why aren't they shitting on everything like usual?
We're trying. There's not much to find here to shit on.
We point out the faults and things and we discuss how they could do it better, but X-Aid and Juoju are doing a bang-up fucking job. So
yeah, so far. So is that all we have to say about X-Aid this week?
I think so. Like I said, I'm just really looking forward to where the series goes from here on out. Like, great characterization, except fucking Poppy. Great action. I really want to know what the fuck they're planning on doing with Laser.
That's keeping you hooked. How are they going to make this idiot work? I loved it.
Whose idea was this?
It's like Excel, but he's fucked.
Yeah, he can't even be a normal guy. He just is a bike.
Ah, that poor bastard. Anyways, is it time for news?
Yeah, let's hear some news.
Okay, so Jeff, yeah, you predicted a couple weeks ago, you said, wouldn't it be amazing if this Dr. Pac-Man character from the movie was just a dude in a white coat with Pac-Man's head on it? Wouldn't that be fantastic?
Wouldn't it be hilarious if he just had a big plastic Pac-Man head on top of a guy in a fucking normal doctor's outfit? Which is exactly what he looks like.
We got some scans this week. You've probably seen him.
You could see him in the blog post if you didn't, but who called it, motherfuckers?
If you want evidence that Jeff was right, that's exactly what they gave us, yeah.
I couldn't be happier. Somebody, like, sent us a link to that, and I all capsed response to that shit. I was like, it's better than I ever hoped!
It's like Christmas. It's like Christmas in October.
I was so excited.
So it's there's that, and there's also a picture of the X-Aid form for Ghost. It just looks like X-Aid, so don't get too riled up. But yeah, Dr. Pac-Man, that's the star of the show. Fucking Dr. Pac-Man, that's unbelievable.
And the scan of Dr. Pac-Man, even though all of the advertisements are like, the greatest evil in history has arrived, Dr. Pac-Man, the scan is this tiny little circle on the middle of the page that you'd had to zoom in like 30 times to see anything of.
They're trying to hide it, I think. They're trying to bury it. Oh, we don't want to spoil it. Just make sure they don't look at it. Look, kids, it's X-Aid. Don't look on the top right corner.
I love it.
Put down your TV.
I couldn't have asked for anything better.
Yeah, it's perfect. That's all we really know about the movie this week. That's all that's been revealed about Dr. Pac-Man. Just some scans.
You can see the scans if you want to, but just know in your heart of hearts that apparently whatever we say on this show happens. So...
Wouldn't it be amazing, Jeff, if I found $6 quadrillion tomorrow in just a duffel bag outside of my apartment?
And wouldn't it be amazing if somehow through a legal loophole that all that money ended up being mine?
No. No.
Wouldn't it be amazing if you split half of that money with me or else I'm gonna make that other shit happen?
No. I need it.
You don't need $6 quadrillion.
I need it to buy Gashats.
Well, if you want all of them, you will.
Here's some news. I bought Tattle Quest, finally. A cave.
Did you?
But by the time I finally mustered up the balls to go and look for it, Mandarake didn't have it. CS Toys didn't have it. Hobby Link Japan was sold out. I had to buy it from some shitter on eBay.
Oh my god. Yeah, that's what happens when they give stuff up for, like, pre-order and shit. People snatch it up to resell it on eBay.
Yeah. I once read this manga, this horror manga. It was written a while ago. I think it was written while Forze was on. Mm-hmm. And the guy who wrote it was a dad. And at the very end, he did a little blurb about his life. And he says, he lives in Japan, and he said the same shit. He's like, I want to get the Forza driver for my kid, but people snatch it up and sell it on eBay, so, like, the shelves are empty right away. Those fuckers. Aww,
that poor guy.
Poor guy. Poor, poor guy.
That poor guy's kid.
Yeah, oh well.
All he wants to be is Forza. All he wants to do is Uchu Kitai.
He wants to make friends, but he can't.
Nobody will be your friend if you don't have a Forza driver in Japan.
you're not a fucking cool kid without one.
That's just how it works.
So, Spectre, the comrade...
Did you buy me Mighty Action X?
No. Fuck no. Are you kidding me?
Oh.
Spectre, the Spectre movie. We got some scans from the Spectre movie.
Who cares?
No, look, it's bad,
Who
though.
Who gives a shit?
Look, they want to hear us complain about something? There's some pictures from the Spectre movie out.
Yeah.
So, if you remember last time we revealed Shin Spectre, we talked about Shin Spectre, and we gave the icon, which is just a stupid, like, recolor of Infinite Soul with some horns.
Yeah, which, according to Orin's range, is actually Sin Spectre.
Is it Sin Spectre?
Yeah.
Who gives a shit? My point is...
But I don't see how it means sin if he looks exactly like the fucking angelic form that the main character had.
Maybe it's ironic.
Whatever.
Maybe Spectre commits a deep sin in the movie.
Well, if the TV series was giving us any hints about him and his sister, I'm sure he did commit a deep sin.
Oh, we got incest in Kamen Rider, we got pedophilia in Super Sentai.
We're delving into the depths of human depravity in this episode of Rider Club Radio.
So the actual form, Shin Spectre, was revealed this week, and it is just a shitty recolor of Infinite with two horns instead of one.
Yeah.
How do you like that shit?
I don't.
Yeah, me neither. We also got...
He's still got the handgun.
Yeah.
Still.
What else are you going to give him?
Anything.
Nope. I like that Spectre got a handgun, and finally it was time for Necrom to get his own weapon, and he also got a handgun.
It's the same one.
It was the same.
It just has different colors.
Talk about getting cheated.
Yeah, talk about being behind the times, right? Because Necrom gets another form, finally, in this movie, called Yujo Burst Damashii, which is just... the fucking Deep Spectre and, like, the Burning Ghost, whatever the fuck that was called.
I don't know.
Dad form.
For those of you who are not savvy, Yujo means friendship, so take from that what you will. It's the power of friendship.
Yeah, it's Ghost. It's just the fucking, like, fiery form that Ghost and Spectre already have. That's his new form.
He's gold and he's on fire and he doesn't look very good.
It looks okay for what they had to work with the fucking, like, dive mask.
Yeah, that's true. Necrom really gets... He got form fucked. He really got form fucked.
Yeah, he had one form.
Well, he had side grades, but he had no upgrades. The poor guy. And he got a handgun.
He did get fucked.
I wonder which... Okay, let's make a prediction. Which rider in Xade is going to get the obligatory, "Nah, you're not worthless, even though you don't have a form"? Is it going to be Laser?
It's gonna have to be Laser.
He's gonna have a crisis.
And it's gonna be,
of
"You're not worthless because you can help us defeat enemies by being a motorcycle."
Yeah, there'll be an extremely specific circumstance where he has to be a motorcycle, and they'll be like, See, Laser? It just happened today, but still. Only happened once, but still.
That's sad, because to begin with, and, like, towards the end, again, Mach was my favorite character.
And he had an episode just like that. Gosh, yeah. I sure am useless.
And he got an upgrade, even.
Chase should have been complaining. Chase didn't complain. He was a trooper.
He didn't get an upgrade because his base form was already strong as fuck, which is the same thing that happened with Necrom.
Yeah, well,
Necrom's his base form was only strong as it needed to be for whatever scene it was in. Like, he could get his shit handed to him by Gyro 1 second, and then go toe-to-toe with, like, the final boss... or whatever, the next. It didn't matter.
Yeah, it's just depending on whether he'd eaten his Wheaties that morning or not.
I guess. I mean, that makes sense in a television series like, I don't know, like Black, or the original series or something, because these characters only have one form, and it's based on their willpower and their physicality.
Yeah.
and some days they're not going to be top-notch, and they can train themselves to get stronger or whatever, but it's all about fucking forms these days.
Well, the thing is, like, when you introduce forms, you introduce sort of implicit power levels.
Yeah.
Which throws everything off balance.
And sometimes they choose to ignore that shit, and sometimes they use it in creative ways, like in Gaim with the Nut Riders.
Yeah, those Nut Riders.
How they have to... Like, everybody would use their, like, Squash... their first form, and they'd have to use their fucking Olay.
Yeah, they gotta go
to do the same amount of damage.
Just a level further. I liked that.
Yeah, it was just a little unspoken thing that let you know that the Nut Riders were a little bit weaker and had to work a little bit harder.
Mm-hmm.
And oh, my well. Favorite was Zach, so.
Old Zach. He was no Jinachi, but he was fine.
Yeah, your favorite was the other Nut Rider, so.
Yeah.
Nut Riders for life. No. Liam's a Nut Rider in real life.
I'm a nut. Hey.
A Nut Rider, get it?
Oh, that took me a second.
I was making a fucking slur at
I put dicks in my ass, is what you're saying.
Yeah, okay. I was making a homophobic slur at
okay.
you, sir.
Okay. I understand now. Thank you for clarifying. I can be fully upset.
There you go. So is that all we have for news?
One last thing.
Okay.
I probably should have put this earlier, but there was a little detail about the Spectre movie this week.
Oh my god.
It's going to have a guy called Danton who knows about the time... You know that, like, 10 years where Makoto was in the ghost world with Kanon?
Yeah.
They did lots of unspeakable things together. There's a guy named Danton who knows what they did. That's why I think that's hilarious, because, like, the big thing is he knows what they did in the fucking ghost world. That's the big conflict of the movie, apparently.
Is this a movie about incest? Is this Flowers in the Attic of the Kamen Rider series?
That's gonna, like, everything's gonna be fine. They're gonna be rebuilding the world, and then he's gonna come out and be like, Spectre, I'm gonna fucking go to the newspapers if you don't do what I say. I'm gonna go to the police with this.
Why does the name Danton sound so familiar?
There was a historical figure during the terror era of the French Revolution called Georges Danton.
Perhaps yeah, that's absolutely where that's, I remember that that's from. Where heard of,
yeah, Georges Danton.
Dipshit. I'm going to look this up.
I really thought, when they said the name Danton in the context of a ghost movie, I thought there was going to be a Georges Danton soul.
Yeah,
and I was like, damn,
Georges
they're really,
Danton.
They're really plumbing the depths there.
Georges Jacques Danton came up. That is not what I remembered it from, goddammit.
Are you sure?
I'm pretty sure. There's a movie called Danton about him.
Did you see Danton about Georges Danton?
No.
No.
It stars Gerard Depardieu.
Oh, I love that guy.
I just like saying his name.
I loved him in that movie, Danton.
Fucking Danton. It sounds so familiar. Why do I know it?
J.C. Danton. Did you play Deus Ex?
Yes, that's not where I remember it from.
Danton.
Danton. You know what? It doesn't matter.
Yeah, who fucking cares?
Who gives a giant fucking shit? Alright.
That's news.
Let's move on and talk about Animal Sentai Juozer. Give us a brief rundown on what happened this week, Liam. Without using the word pedophilia.
Oh, fuck. Well, now I gotta stop and think. So, it's Halloween and all the Juozers are having fun, but a Samba monster appears and a little girl falls in love with Tusk and they have to deal with all that shit. Jeff, what did you think of Juozer number 63?
It was hilarious. It was, like, there was so much shit in it that, like, a child would never get whatsoever. Even to the point when, like, the little girl runs up and says, "My prince," or whatever, Tusk looks at, like, everybody in the space outside that Tusk is at looks at him. And he goes, "It's not what you think!" And he, like, says, "Come on," and they run away, and you hear the sound of police sirens in the background. Who wrote this?
This is how you know it's not an American show. It's normal to a point. Like, a little girl falling in love with an adult is not the craziest thing. Like, a lot of little girls have celebrity crushes and shit. They're in love with Leo DiCaprio or whatever. But the best part
is... What is this, 1995?
I don't fucking... He's still pretty hot. I don't know.
He's like 60 now.
Who cares? Little
kids would be in love with, like, I don't know, whoever's
Channing
gonna cover
Tatum.
A Tiger Beat. Yeah.
Channing Tatum. But the best line in the whole show is when they go back to the treehouse, and they're like, who's this little girl? I think her name's Mommy.
Yeah.
They're like, who's this little girl that you're carrying around, Tusk? And the girl's like, Tusk is my fucking boyfriend. And Misao goes, oh, I get it. Tusk has sunk to depths that we cannot reach.
Oh, I like that, like, fucking Misao thinks that Amu's into Tusk, and he's like, you think that he's jealous because he wants Amu or whatever, but he's laying on the ground going, Tusk, don't leave me.
Yeah. He's going through the classic thing where your best friend gets a girlfriend and then just fucking disappears and never hangs out with you again. He's yeah. like, God damn it,
Tusk. If his girlfriend is, like, Mommy's age, then he fucking disappears and never hangs out with you again because he's in prison.
He disappears to Mexico and never hangs out with anyone again.
This whole episode was so awkward.
But I loved it. It was one of the funniest episodes.
It really was.
Because it was so funny. It deals so bold-facedly with this incredibly taboo subject on a children's show.
It was so weird.
Like, we could talk all about the action and how there was some really good fight choreography between Tusk and Amu in this episode. There's a really nice, like, character moments with Amu, where she shows her more assertive side.
Yeah. She shows her full feminist side.
But I just want to talk about pedophilia.
Whoa!
Look, think about this one. We have one new viewer for this podcast. It's the FBI monitoring agent.
Welcome, John Smith, to the podcast. Well, fucking, it should be noted that the little, like, samba, quote-unquote, music that plays when the samba monster dances is the tune that plays when the Kyoryugers do their transformation dance.
Oh my god, it is! That little...
And the samba monster actually does the Kyoryuger transformation dance once when it's
does
playing
he?
In this episode.
I didn't catch that.
Yeah, it does the same, like, visual, like, it does the same framing of the shots and everything, of, like, the close-up of his feet doing the dance,
oh,
and then the
yeah.
wider shot for him turning.
That's fucking crazy.
Which was great.
That's great.
But Tusk has to avoid having sex with a child in this episode.
I really thought, because there's that scene with the kid and Amu, Mammy and Amu. And Amu says, sometimes it's okay for the girl to protect the boy. And I really thought she'd go back to that kid that she dumped at the beginning and said, it's okay that you're a huge wuss. But
no,
she didn't.
No, fuck that
fuck
baby
that.
Bag bitch. She doesn't even mention him ever again.
He disappears. He goes home and cries. His little 10-year-old girlfriend dumped him.
Yeah, he can never have any new friends either because he doesn't have a Forza driver. So,
fuck. Ugh.
I guess it should be noted as well that in this episode we learned who the real hottest member, the hottest girl on the Juojers is. It's Leo.
Yeah. Oh, they all have Halloween costumes, and they're pretty par for the course. Yamato is a pumpkin, and Misao is a ghost, and all that shit. Leo goes as a French maid.
He's got great games.
I like to think it's because he doesn't understand. He's just like, yeah, this looks nice and frilly, I'll put this shit on.
He's like, I'm sure he does understand, and he's like, isn't it funny? He's like a dude bro dressed up like a woman for Halloween. He's like, isn't it funny that I'm so fucking buff and cool
I'm
and manly
so secure
and I'm dressed
in my
like
masculinity.
A woman?
and then he keeps the dress forever.
Look, Leo had some nice legs, is all I'm saying.
Yeah, that's true.
It took me a second to realize it was him. When he turned around, I was like, wait a minute, that's a penis.
Jeff was a little bit sexually confused for like half a second.
Wait a second, Dick, hold on. You don't know what you're getting into here.
Down, boy.
Wow, everybody watching this has a whole idea about me now.
I think they already had a
you
a
know
bit
what,
of an
whatever.
Idea about both
I'm
of
secure
us.
Enough in my masculinity, look, bro.
Look how secure I am in my masculinity, saving all these pictures of Leo dressed in a French maid outfit. Aren't I so funny? Saving them all right to my hard drive and keeping them
it's,
in a secret.
It's form. Funny, right, bro? Right? Right?
We haven't mentioned the quality of this episode very much so far. It's a very good episode. It's one of my favorites.
It's the funniest episode in the whole series.
Like, there's there's not much, like, there's, okay, there is one thing. There's a scene when Kubar, there's a flashback to Kubar stealing fucking Bungle's hand, and then he looks at his hand, which makes me think.
It's Bungle's hand.
It's Bungle's hand, and he's got his power now, which is terribly interesting to me.
Yes, it is. I like that. It is. It absolutely is Bungle's hand when he looks back down at it.
Yeah, it seems very obvious, which makes me, I'm impressed.
The way you phrased that made me think that you didn't know it was his hand. You said you thought it was his hand.
Well, I thought it makes it, it implies very strongly that he put Bungle's hand on his hand.
It is his hand. He looks down and it's fucking Bungle's hand.
Okay. Well, okay.
It's implied 100%.
I don't know exactly what Kubar's hands look like. I couldn't tell right away that it wasn't his hand.
I actually paused after he looked at his hand and I was like, wait a fucking minute. Was that Bungle's hand? So I went back and looked at him chop off the hand. And when he reaches down to pick up the hand, it's a different hand.
See,
than
I
what
didn't,
he has in the next scene.
I didn't do that, so don't blame me.
I
just
did.
Took on faith that they were implying it to me.
What a dipshit.
I know. But I like that even in this comedy episode about pedophilia, they managed to sneak in some foreshadowing and some plot hooks. I like that they're constantly advancing Kubar, and he's got he's got his own shit going on outside of the main plan of the villains. That's very interesting. I like that.
I love that Genis already knows.
Yeah.
He's just, like, fucking around waiting for Kubar to do something now.
Because he knows. He knows that if Kubar's going to try something, and Genis
like,
is going to
like,
this
very episode, he's like, yeah, Bungle wasn't a very good, like, pawn. You guys aren't like him, right?
And he looks straight at Kubar.
Kubar looks at the camera and pulls on his collar and goes, mm-hmm.
Yeah, great episode. I love Tusk episodes. Funny fucking episode.
Like, Mommy had a voice that was like an American woman in her 40s. It did not fit her at all.
Poor Mommy.
Yeah, she got rejected, and she's gonna have to get rejected again.
They're gonna go through the same
shit.
Because
Amu wants a prince. She doesn't want a princess, she said.
Amu wants Tusk, obviously.
They seemed pretty against that in this episode.
Well, look, they're awkward because they're like, no, we don't like each other, oh my god. They're gonna
fuck.
Oh my
god, you guys.
There's gonna be a really steamy sex scene before the end of this show. Just wait.
You know what, after this episode, I can't even say I don't see that. They have a whole episode about pedophilia, so.
Clearly they're moving into some taboo territory here.
Wouldn't it have been fucked if they were like, if an adult tries to touch you where you don't want to be touched, please report it to 911, and then showed like Tusk in jail. He's like, wait, you don't understand.
Tusk sitting in jail right next to fucking Volpanther.
They filmed it inside the jail that Volpanther's actually at.
He's hiding his face from the camera and shit.
You're still under contract. Toei owned your soul.
Oh, fuck me.
Great episode.
Great episode.
It wasn't great in the same way that other episodes are. It was great because it was fucking comedy gold.
If it wasn't
for the A storyline plot, the plot of the Samba Monster would have been shit.
Who cares? Yeah, who gives a shit about the Samba? Mommy is the real star in this episode.
Yeah. The Samba Monster did want to screw Azald in his blocky butt, but Azald was having none of it.
Yeah, that's fine. That's a nice angle for him.
But that he had no personality otherwise.
Yeah, all the Deathgalians usually have at least one quirk, but they're not really, I mean, they don't have to be super deep characters, they're just Monsters of the Week.
Yeah, it's the story that's framed around the Monster of the Week that matters.
Yeah, that's true.
So it was a good episode, everybody. If you haven't watched it, we spoiled it already, but go watch it.
Okay, it was a really good comedy relief after the really heavy couple episodes beforehand, just to show you that this episode, or this show, is very versatile and can do a lot of different tones. It's a very good episode. I liked it.
Yeah, Bungle didn't even get a funeral, man.
Who gives a fuck? They threw him into space, I bet. They dropped any burnt, charred remains left and threw him into the sun.
What if he had, like, a wife and children at home? And, like, they're just like, Mommy, when's Daddy coming home?
His wife is standing on the end of a space widow's peak, looking into the space sea for her wailing husband.
She's, like, staring up at the stars, and, like, a single tear runs down her weird monster face, and she's like, soon, honey! Soon! Mommy, what's wrong? Is Daddy coming home?
What's cracking wrong, Mommy? I can't wait for a Juo bird.
Yeah, he apparently just turns... He has the normal eagle outfit, but it's got, like, a blue digital effect over all the black parts.
Yeah, there you go.
And silver instead of gold.
Yeah, I'm just really excited for that whole, like, Secret of Juland plot to come back. I've been curious about that ever since they brought it up.
I'm excited for that, too, and I'm really excited to see the scene where Birdman says the line, I will protect you, I swear!
Yeah. George was really good about that. Like, they put just the right line into the preview, so you're like, oh, I can't wait to see that scene.
Yeah.
It was the same with the bit with his uncle, Yamato's uncle Mario. That was the same with the scene when when his mother comes back to life for that brief moment.
Yeah.
They're really good about
it. It shows you the little snippet of the scene that you're going to look forward to until next week, for sure.
Yeah.
And that's mine. I'm looking forward to that. But since we're done talking about Juojir, how about we read some nice emails?
Let's read some emails.
Well, first off, is not an email whatsoever. It's a tweet.
Well, you lied to me.
And it's from Onua.
Okay.
Who says, first off, my Gashat would be Brutal Legend, because I love that game.
Oh.
What would your level 3 Gashats be?
Shit.
Because we said what our Gashats would be. Mine would be a beat-em-up. And yours would be...
I said mine was Morrowind.
Oh, yeah. I guess you chose an actual game.
I chose a WRPG.
Did I choose an actual game? Because if I was going with a beat-em-up, then I would have chosen Streets of Rage 2.
Well, you have to... Let's say you make up a name for a beat-em-up. Like, beat, punch, beat-em-up. And for the WRPG...
Buster Wolf.
For the WRPG, you could have, like... Sword and Sorcery Adventure or something, like, just like that genre.
Yeah. So you have a Western RPG and I have a beat-em-up.
Side-scrolling beat-em-up. That's what I'd want. And for a level 3, I'd want a point-and-click adventure.
Point-and-click adventure. How would that work?
You point and click at people and they die.
You know what? I feel like you might be the kid on the fucking playground that's like, well, I have a rocket launcher. Well, I'm a wizard, and I cast death on you, and now you're dead.
You point and click. You investigate shit. Like, you can, it'd be like type technic. You can see real good, and you can aim real good, and you're smart while you have it on.
Your final attack could be double clicking them and freezing them in place with the clicker on them, and then doing your final attack to their frozen in place body.
Perfect. Perfect. You're painting a good picture.
It goes flying into the recycle bin.
What about you, Jeff? What level 3 Gashat would you want?
Oh, man. That's really tough, actually. Maybe like a puzzle game?
Oh, yeah.
Like a block breaker type of thing? Or maybe like a block dropper. And I could like box them in for my final.
Gekitotsu block dropper.
Yeah, it would be called block dropper.
Some Japanesey word, block dropper.
Yeah.
Or something.
I think that would be my level 3. It would be a puzzle form, and I'd have giant fucking L blocks on my shoulders.
Yeah, for pauldrons. It's got to be really, really gaudy and ugly if it's level 3. It's got to be like shit sticking like a whole meter off of you.
Oh, I guess you can get a weapon with your level 3, too, like the bike wheels.
Oh, well,
shit.
So
mine would be, like, a big bow staff, but it's made out of blocks.
Oh.
One long L block.
Point and click would have a magnifying glass. A big club that looked like a magnifying glass.
It's perfect.
Yeah.
Not a bad decision there, Liam.
Thanks. You had a pretty good one yourself there, friend.
Disgusting. Okay. Our first actual email is from Shadowlight, who says, Dear Rider Club Radio, first of all, congrats on going through all of Ghost. I meant to send this to you a few weeks ago, but I was without internet for a while. thanks. We need all the fucking congratulations and pats on the back we could possibly get
for
making it through that.
Fucking congressional medals for getting through that show, or at least a Purple Heart.
It should be a Purple Heart for the fucking mental injuries I had to suffer watching that shit.
I got shell shock now. Thanks, Toy.
Also, after catching up with X8, I have a theory on who will die first in the series, if anyone will. I believe it will be either Genmu or Snipe. I believe Genmu will die due to the fact that he's an evil rider, and they're usually the first to go. I also think it'll be Snipe due to the fact that he wants all the Gashats, and those who are power-hungry will end up dying as a result of that hunger. Do you think this makes sense, or who do you think will be the first one to die?
I don't think
it'll be Genmu or Snipe.
I could see Snipe. I could see Snipe biting it.
I think it's going to be Laser.
Laser. I could see Laser biting it, too.
I see Laser biting it because of parallels to the series we were talking about.
Oh.
I see him, like, turning over a new leaf a little bit, and then...
Yeah. Just as he starts to turn good, he gets killed to motivate Emu to action.
Yeah, exactly.
But
I don't think Snipe or Genmu are going to die because shitholes in Kamen Rider live forever, at least until the last episode.
I can see Genmu living. I can very much see Snipe dying, though. I can see him he gets cocky, like he really wants this one Gashat that's so strong, but the guy who's got it is really strong, so Genmu has it. And Genmu's like, don't come at me or I'll fucking kill you. Don't take it from me. And he's like, I'll do it. And Genmu fucking kills him. I could see that, something like that happening.
I guess I could see it. It's just not really in writer history for a character who's that big of a shithole and that much of a problem for the main character to die anywhere near the beginning or middle of a series.
Remember Gaim?
That was towards the end.
Got smashed between two giant stone slabs. I guess
that was
kind of
towards
hard.
The end.
Yeah. If any riders are going to die in this show, it's going to be close to the end.
Yeah, I like a certain character, and then you describe exactly how they fucking die, which ruins it anyway.
Well, they don't know who it is.
I guess that's all that matters.
Yeah, you don't know who gets destroyed between two slabs.
I definitely don't see Genmu dying regardless, at least not until the very end.
Yeah, that's one thing we can agree on. I don't see Genmu dying.
I don't see Snipe either, but Liam does.
I do.
So thanks for writing in, Shadowlight.
Thanks.
Our next email is from, what does he sign as? Jake. Jake, who says, Happy Halloween, or belated Happy Halloween if I sent this in too late. Which you did.
Well, I mean, we're recording too late. It's fucking November.
He sent it 23 hours ago.
Well, you sent it on November 1st, so you fucked.
I'm so happy X8 is keeping the balance of one good guy and a sea of dicks intact. Kind of feel bad that Kyria drew the short end of the stick when it comes to usable base form. Well, we talked plenty about that already.
Yep.
Poor guy. Genmu's bit about only the strong will survive sounded like something I expected to hear in Ryuki, and it was fun seeing Emu get angry from his taunting. I really wish they'd slow things down with the giving out the form upgrade, since the episode ended on a moment with a lot of potential to set the rest of the story up. I thought Palad was going to be Genmu too, but that would have been too obvious, I think.
Wow.
So I like how things played out at the end.
Everyone went for Palad, eh? Fun fact before you go. When Genmu said, only the strong will survive, the first thing that flew through my head is, those who don't fight don't survive. You must fight to survive.
Exactly. It's very Ryuki. A lot of this show has shades of Ryuki. Questions.
All right.
For a non-rider related question, what are some of your favorite RPG games, Liam?
Well, Morrowind. I really like Morrowind. And I like Etrian Odyssey.
He does fucking love Morrowind. The first RPG I ever really got into and played was Sword of Vermillion for the Sega Genesis.
Oh, wow.
So that has like a place in my heart, even though it's a piece of shit.
I'll still love it forever.
My favorite RPG ever is hardly an RPG, I guess. It's Super Mario RPG.
Oh, I just played the Super Nintendo one?
Yeah, the Super Nintendo one.
I just played that one for the first time this year. I loved it.
It's an amazing game.
Yeah.
I also really like the Shin Megami Tensei games.
I've never played them.
Like the actual SMT games. They're really fucking cool.
Yeah.
They can get a little edgy at times.
Oh, yeah. That's the thing.
That's part of the draw, I guess. And I liked Tales of Symphonia.
Oh, I loved Tales of Symphonia. I played. I'm in the middle of Tales of Phantasia right now. Actually, that's a pretty fun one.
I haven't played Tales of Phantasia.
It's very primitive, but I like it.
I don't know, man. There's a lot of great RPGs. Like, I actually never played Earthbound growing up, and I started playing it like a year or so ago on and off.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. It's just grindy as fuck.
Yeah, Earthbound's good. You gotta fight a lot.
Yeah. I like it. I haven't gotten that far in it because it's so fucking grindy.
What else? I liked
I enjoyed the aesthetic a lot.
Yeah. I liked Final Fantasy Legend on the Game Boy.
That is a good game.
That was fantastic. I love those. I like those kind of RPGs. I like Etrian Odyssey like that, too. Where it's like, here's just a big fucking dungeon, and you just make some party, and you just go in there. And everything else is just left to the wind in terms of story. And you sort of go, and you just make it up as you go along. I like that sort of thing.
Yeah. I like, this is reaching back really far. I never played it growing up because I was way too young when it came out. Like, I was a baby, probably.
Mm-hmm.
But Willow for the NES.
Holy shit. Was it based on the movie?
Yeah, it's based on the movie starring Warwick Davis.
I did not know that Willow had a video game.
Yeah, it's basically like this weird mashup of like a Legend of Zelda style game, but with like level progression.
Well, I'll be damned.
And like equipment and stuff, like you can upgrade your equipment as you go. It's hard as fuck,
I bet.
It's a little esoteric, but it's fun. I really like it.
Huh? I had no idea.
If you're a patient man, I say you should play it. The color palette can kind of grate on you, but I like Final Fantasy IV a lot. People who don't like it tend to play the remake.
The DS remake is a piece of shit.
It is a total piece of fucking shit. The original game is much better.
Yeah, that's what I hear.
I like to play the original Final Fantasy, actually.
I liked the original one pretty good, too.
Yeah, it's kind of archaic compared to what came after.
Mm.
But if you play it without thinking about like stuff that was upgraded in games afterwards, it's a fucking solid game.
It's not that. Yeah, it's not that. It's not super archaic. It's not super hard. You can do it.
No.
If you just grind.
Do they make RPGs anymore?
They make action RPGs.
Yeah, I like action RPGs all right.
Me
I just
too.
Wish they hadn't have replaced regular RPGs.
Yeah, well, that's the price you pay.
Yeah, I guess Morrowind's an action RPG.
Yeah, it's an action RPG, but it's got dice rolls for the combat. I think that offsets it.
Yeah.
You have
it's
to have
also
stats.
Frustrating as fuck sometimes.
Well,
but
if you're bad, yeah.
Yeah, if you're bad at fucking random number generator,
if you're bad
it's
at
frustrating.
Life, yeah, it can be really shitty if you're a failure of a human. I hear Morrowind's really hard.
Well, I mean, I am what I am. But I think we may have talked enough about RPGs.
We've talked plenty about RPGs, yeah.
I like the RPG genre a
Me
lot.
Too.
So there's a lot I love in it. I could go through a list forever, probably.
We could have a whole podcast about them, but...
Question 2. If you could have any bike from any rider series that functions exactly as it does in that series, transforming and everything, what bike would you pick?
Hibiki's bike is fucking
sick.
One. What?
That's a tough one.
Hibiki's bike is
well,
the
you
slickest.
Go, you went to that immediately.
He has the slickest bike of any Kamen Rider, Heisei, or Showa. His is my favorite.
I feel like I would have to get the motorcycle from the first, even though it's just a really fast motorcycle.
It's a slick looking one though. The Cyclone is really slick. Or
it can apparently survive underwater. So
apparently,
yeah.
Wait, is the bike the Cyclone or is the bike the Typhoon?
The bike is the Cyclone.
Okay.
The belt
okay.
is the Typhoon.
The belt is the Typhoon. I always forget that.
So that would be my choice. And
okay.
It doesn't transform or anything. Like, you could have fucking Agito's bike that turns into a weird snowboard that can fly.
Let's be honest, I would fall off that instantly.
You know, me too. I can't even skateboard correctly anymore, so...
Yeah, there's no hope.
There's no hope of that shit.
Just get a nice looking bike.
God, it's so fucking sweet. I love the bike from the first.
Yeah, it's a nice bike.
It's in the next as well. It's just a fucking amazing bike.
Yeah.
And question 3, Do you think we'll see more uncharacteristically angry moments from the genius gamer M? He's a really nice guy usually, so that bit was a surprise to me. And I think it could be a lot of fun if it gets out of control and there's more to it.
I think that would make a really good, like, early arc for Emu. Or, like, to have... Like, I think something could come from that. Like, he could fuck up and start to doubt himself, and that could be, like, a really good arc for early on, and everyone could be like, ah, Emu, you were shit after all! And, yeah, that'd be a...
Yeah, everybody could be like, Emu, why are you so angry? I would actually fucking hate that. If all the people who are huge fucking, like, shitholes... who were just absolutely terrible people being like, Emu, you're awful because you got angry.
But, like, no, it could be like he gets mad and he fucks up and he goes after the Bugster or something. He prioritizes murder over saving the patient, and the patient almost gets hurt. And then he could be like, oh no, I fucked up. And Hiro could be like, yeah, you're not so cool now, are you? All your rhetoric. I'm still better at this job than you are. And then he could come back and be like, I'm gonna fucking beat you up. Or something. It could be like an arc where he triumphs at the end. It'd be satisfying.
Yeah. I remember being frustrated a lot in Ryuki that all these people were like, actually, you're just as bad as we are.
Yeah.
No, Shinji is not as bad as you are. He's just dumb. You people are fucking mass murderers and shit. That always bugged me a little bit, so I hope that doesn't happen. But the way I see it is he gets way too angry and lets it cloud his judgment, and it causes a problem. And Poppy Peepo Papoose is like, you can't let your anger get the best of you. You're scaring me or whatever. And he's like, oh, wow, I'm being a dick.
Truly, man is the real monster. I'd rather Poppy be involved as little as possible, but
well, I don't want it to be right. Poppy. I want it to be Asuna.
Oh, yeah.
That's true. Hopefully, I would have a hard time taking that situation seriously if she was dressed like a fucking giant stick of bubble gum.
Oh, she's got, like, Big League Chew for hair.
And question four.
Four?
Any guesses on why Graphite and Taiga are so set on killing each other? Thanks again, and looking forward to the next episode. Jake. P.S. Ryo is my favorite character in Ryuki, and I wished he could have used his survive card.
That's a shame. There is a Ryo survive, but it's only a toy, so unfortunate. Mm-hmm. Here's my guess. So Taiga fucked up once and let a patient die because he overestimated the power of video games. Yes. I think maybe Graphite is the Bugster that was his patient's thing. And maybe he failed to beat Graphite. And that's why he let that patient die. He lost his medical license, and now they hate each other. I think that's it. That's my prediction.
Dude, that's fucking genius. You're right.
I hope so, because that'd be really interesting.
I got nothing to add to that. That's absolutely correct.
And that's why he's so powerful, because he's, like, they're always talking about, oh, once I fucking absorb the patient's life, once he dies, for me, I'll be the most powerful. So I think that's why Graphite's one of the head guys, because he actually managed to kill a dude. That's what I think.
Man. That's good writing, Liam.
I'm a great writer, actually.
Yeah, okay. I can't even add anything to that. That's pretty much exactly what I think happened.
I hope so.
Otherwise, like, how could they possibly know each other to that point where fucking Snipe is enraged at the sight of him?
Yeah.
So here's hoping that that's what it is. Thanks for writing in, Jake.
Thanks.
Ryo was one of my favorite characters from Ryuki as well.
Ryo was okay.
Liam's an idiot.
Mm.
So thanks for writing in, everybody who did. And if you'd like to get your questions read out loud by my voice and answered by Liam's voice on this podcast that's made up of both of our voices, you can write an email to writerclubradio@gmail.com, and we may or may not answer it. Don't get mad if we don't.
Or you can tweet at us @writerclubradio.
And we post funny things on the Twitter. We fucking talk to people. Like, I had a 2-hour-long DM conversation with Ian.
Yeah.
On using the Rider Club Radio thing last night. He is excited for the Power Rangers movie because I don't know fucking why.
For some reason.
I think it's mostly because of that one lady in skin-tight green spandex.
Mm.
Which is fine by me. So thanks for tuning in, everybody, and remember to send us an email, remember to follow us on Twitter, and tell all your fucking friends about it. It'll be great.
Good night.
See ya.
Bye.